And then I start checking Twitter, like when we get back to our hotel room that night. And I'm like, oh no, you guys.
This
didn't go well. Still
It's your
forgetting.
guys' fault. Who the hell books a tour with a bunch of fucking Aussies?
And hotel comp, like we
Did
got
you
all
get kicked
that.
out of the hotel?
No,
we were
Oh,
good.
come on. Jeez. Hey, this is Party Like a Rockstar podcast, and I'm your host, Joel. Today's episode is brought to you by Misha's Kind Foods. They're an LA-based small business making the world's finest non-dairy cheese on the market today. They're lactose-free, paleo, keto, kosher, perev, and 100% vegan. If you like what you see, check out the next video. If you like this video, please subscribe and like by clicking the little round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or our other guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle is Joel Rody. If you haven't already read my book, Memoir of a Rody, it's now available through Amazon and paperback, Kindle, or as an audiobook. I hope you enjoy the show. Anyway, let me introduce you guys and we'll start talking some shit.
Awesome.
Today's episode features the band Avoid. Got Benny Scholl, who's a vocalist. Got Nick Olson, guitar player. Chris Eccles, in case that guy fucks up, he's a second guitar player. And yep. Paul Jaton, is that right?
Jaton.
Jaton. It's like French?
Russian.
Oh, fuck. I was way off there. All right. Paul Jaton. Drums. First question is, I looked up what would be the opposite of the word avoid, and I found out the word would be confront, which I also think is a pretty fucking good band name.
There you go. That's actually a great
band name. That's a backup band name.
I was going to see what you guys thought. I thought that was
You figured out one of the various side project names for us.
help out the cause, you know? I didn't know which one you guys
it's like a band. It's like an album. It could be a concept album. It's like the polar opposite.
Avoid confront.
He's the singer, huh? Like, what was it? ABBA? I did listen to a bit of your music. You do not sound like fucking ABBA, and you're definitely not as good looking as those two chicks. You know, the girl in, I think it's the blonde one, she married her stalker.
Whoa.
What?
Right? I think I'm right. If I'm wrong, it's like a really great story. But I think so. I think so. I think she married her stalker.
Damn, that's insane.
Yeah, so it gives you guys hope.
Yeah, talk about
I guess.
Anyway, so... all right. How did you guys meet each other? That's my only question, I think. I didn't really know a lot here.
These fuckers met each other.
Yeah. So way long before. We became friends in like right before high school. We met at like a rock band camp. Started a different band together with a group of dudes. Did that for a couple years.
And what was that band called?
Avoid the Void.
Oh, wow.
Technically, we consider it the same band. We've just, because it's always been us two.
We never broke up. We just were like, let's be new again.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't want to be attached to like the high school history and shit.
Okay.
So.
And so music camp is like, you practice all day with like big musician guys, or what is that?
Yeah, it's like a mom and pop version of a school of rock where you show up for a week, you get assigned a skill level, and they put you with another group of kids, and then you guys learn cover songs and perform them at a venue at the end of the week. Kind of, you know, very like it's led by local musicians, like our first mentors who like, you know, they would like open for Godsmack with their local band when they toured through, like people who had some experience in the industry and just wanted to like pass that knowledge down on the kids. So we met through that. We did our high school thing. And then as we were kind of figuring out like the right lineup for the band, we cold called Paul because
you needed a better musician.
We were down a drummer and we were like,
he's got okay, the cool hair. Okay. Sorry.
If your drummer doesn't rip, your band doesn't rip. So Paul was like the best drummer in the scene that I knew of. And I was just like, I'm just going to hit this guy up and see. Cause we had a tour booked like a month out, and we were like, we need a guy for this tour. I'm gonna call Paul. Cold called him and was like, hey man, do you want to go on tour? I know you rip and you can learn, and you can learn these songs really fast.
And I said, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Did you call your magic friends and say, hey guys?
I said, ah oh, man,
I'm not gonna make it this week.
I know you're gonna be mad. You're gonna be mad. All right.
And then before we
this met is turning Paul, into a beautiful story, by the way.
Oh, I love this story. Good. Good story. Luke, since he's not here, I'll tell the Luke story really quick. Luke, we met, he played another band in the local scene when we were starting our band in high school. So we kind of grew up around Luke, and then eventually
Juvenile Hall.
I'm not almost. We ended up absorbing him into the band, and he's been around since that era. So Luke came in, Paul came in, and then we met Chris on he was like the guitar tech for a band that was opening for us
on like our very first tour ever. After we changed our, because we had toured a couple times under Avoid the Void, like high school tours. But when we really did it with Avoid, this was our first ever run. Chris was like, yeah, like teching with that band. And no disrespect to that band, but we were just like, Chris was really the standout person from that group. And we stayed.
How old were you, Chris? Yeah, Chris.
I was 16.
Nice. Yeah.
So we were like 18, 19. We were like, holy shit, there's someone younger than us on this tour that's rad as fuck. Chris was like an amazing hang. Obviously a very like talented guitar player and like skilled tech. So we just stayed friends with Chris, you know, throughout the next like 4 years after that, just loosely, because we live in Washington. Chris lives in San Diego.
Nice.
And we ended up having a bass player, you know, like opening in the band. And we were like, you know, if there's anybody that we think would be the best fit for our like vibe and our energy and our friend group, it would be Chris, because he's like young and busting his ass and like obviously just really wants to do it and like grind, you know. So
and you
Chris,
were right,
do you like Modern Times Brewery?
Yeah,
I do like Modern Times Brewery.
Just checking, continue.
Yeah.
and that ended up happening. Just the circumstances of it all was wild, because we were in the studio recording our last EP, The Burner, and Chris was with us not as a bass player but as a content person. So he did photo and video, so he was like, you know, documenting the whole process, and that was kind of
really like an artist.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
So we ended up that.
Is it
that
hard to make these guys look good?
No,
that's a good answer. This guy's buddy.
Naturally right. Beautiful.
Scraggly as fuck in person. Yeah, so we absorbed Chris, and it's been a fucking dream ever since. Like the lineup is where we love it.
That was a good story. I was hoping it'd be good, and that was good. Thank you for that. So, back to my questions. The music video for My World. Who thought it would be a good idea to put fire in your video? Who let you do that?
I don't remember. That was
honestly, I think it was our videographers, our directors.
And there was no one there to veto this idea. But like,
no.
We were like some
extra homies that were at the shoot were like, yeah, we brought some skateboards. You should light our skateboards on fire.
Mine's shitty. Use mine.
Like, yeah. mine's shittier than the one you brought. Don't ruin your nice board. Like,
I do have a Black Flag skateboard, dude. How cool is that?
Oh, that's
neat. Yeah, I bought it at a garage sale from this dude, and he's all. So you have to get out of here. My wife hates it. He's like, and he's like, I got it signed by all the guys in the band. He goes, and I got grounded, man. And so he takes it out, and I was like, whoa.
Is it neat? Like,
is it
good condition?
What?
Is it in good condition?
Not too bad, but he wrote it, that's for sure. But I mean, the truth is, it's not like the Rolling Stones. It's not that easy to find a Black Flag skateboard. You know?
Oh, wow, that's why.
Yeah.
It's really, really neat. I love it. I like the story behind it. The guy was cool, man. The guy was a good dude. So it was fun for sure. So it was good.
So sick. So sick.
So you guys got the music video thing that you guys just released recently-ish, right?
And
Yeah. And then we got a couple singles that you guys are releasing. And then you guys are doing a lot of dates right now. I looked up. You guys are busy.
Well, we were busy.
What happened?
So North Lane, the headlining band for the tour we were going to do this summer, they're from Australia, and unfortunately they couldn't get their visas processed in time, and there was holdups with that. So unfortunately the tour got canned, but we do have some dates that we're going to hopefully be announcing within the next couple days to kind of make up for it. It's not the full U.S. run we were hoping to do this summer, but it's at least going to get down the West Coast and out to our friends that are at least in our closest markets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay. Next year you go back out again and make it up.
We have some tours in the fall. We have some stuff still.
It's your guys' fault. Who the hell books a tour with a bunch of fucking Aussies?
Hey, we didn't book it.
I blame you.
Our agent's fault, but not really. It's no one's fault. It's really just an unfortunate circumstance, which is why we can't really be too bummed. No one fucked up. No one.
Yeah.
It's
are you guys practicing at home? I wish you would. That's why it would be. All right, I don't know. I'm done making fun of you. So
we're staying alert. We're staying ready. Like we're really like we try to pride ourselves on being like ready to go at the drop of a pin. Like if we get that call that like, hey, this band can't make it and there's a spot open on this full tour and it starts tomorrow, we're that band that's gonna be there. No problem, no questions asked, no hassle. Like we really pride ourselves off of just like being ready and being down for whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure maybe we could find you a gig. I don't know. It could be like the YMC swimming pool. That would be nice.
We'll take it.
Hey,
yeah, we'd love
we're
that.
Not, we're doing parking lots, backs of restaurants, house shows.
Those all sound a little too good. I don't know.
So it's honestly, it brings us back to our roots of our first tours and all of that.
So there you go. So there's one of my favorites is like, what are some of the goofiest gigs you guys have played? Some of the oddest ones, ones that come up to mind. What do you got?
Oh, I got one.
Well, I mean,
Buffalo. We played in the back of an Italian restaurant.
That was sick.
And that show was like we were on tour with a band called Insurgents. They're like a really heavy ass, like kind of hardcore, like mathy band from Texas. And like the room in Buffalo like exploded. Like people were getting hurt.
I got crowd killed into my drum set.
People were jumping off of tables.
In an Italian restaurant.
Yeah. And it was like this nice Italian restaurant with like trim and like guardrails everywhere.
It was pretty nice.
It was weird.
And their kitchen
was open.
Yeah, there was like people like having
so we
dinner.
We loaded in our gear through the kitchen with all these dudes cooking fucking spaghetti and lasagna.
Did they feed you?
No, I have some video on my phone. I don't think it exists.
Didn't even have food.
No, we didn't. Unless you had to buy it. They didn't give us free food there.
No, they didn't get food.
Yeah, we got shafted.
We got weird ass weed though.
Oh, we bought some weed.
We bought weed that night and like
might have been laced or something.
I don't know, man. Something was weird about that.
Did you
shit.
Say grazie? If you don't say grazie, they give you.
Well, it was from an old buddy, and I don't even want to call him out because I don't think, but it was just like, there's something about this weed that was just like, either it was really good, but we're from Washington. We get the good, legal, and whatever you want, and we're pretty versed in the subject.
I like how you threw in the legal there. Never do any illegal weed.
Never do it.
But we're pretty versed in, we're connoisseurs, if you will, and it takes a lot to put us on our ass. And I remember this weed was just
it was
too crazy.
It was different.
And the other thing I remember really distinctly about that show, and because this whole tour was a little weird for us, not in a weird and a bad way, the band we were on tour with are now some of our best friends ever, but they're like very hardcore, very in the hardcore roots, very political live. Like that's their whole thing is very polarizing and very hardcore. And it's just not what we necessarily are. And it was all like, so some of the shows we ended up playing on that tour
were hardcore shows.
Like very like hardcore shows. And we're up there doing like little breakdowns and singing in our choruses. And it was like, so I remember the promoter at the end of that Buffalo show comes up to me and he's like, you know, man, you guys are pretty fucking sick. I'll be real. The agent hit me up and I didn't even want to take this show with you guys. I was like, can I just take Insurgents? Like, I didn't fuck with you guys. I didn't think you guys would be cool, but you guys are cool, man. You guys are cool. Where are we?
And meanwhile, the promoter was the guy who was crowd killing.
Yeah, the promoter is the guy that's out there fucking
like decking people.
Decking people, dude. Yeah, it was so funny.
Like, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That sounds great. Buffalo.
But yeah.
You go to the falls? Isn't that close? Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We saw the falls from both sides because that was like a tour that went through Canada. So we were just like, fuck it. Hit both sides, you know?
Saw it was snowy and icy.
Yeah, gorgeous. middle of winter. Buffalo's cool. People are cool out there.
You know what's not cool? San Diego.
No, it's the best place.
San Diego, bro?
I just got a VW bus and my friend was telling me, he's like, so when you're ready to get rid of it, we just put a surf rack on it and we take it to San Diego and someone will buy it.
Yeah, me.
You're the guy. This is all the
setup.
Let me know. I don't really care about your band. I just want this guy to get paid more.
He's trying to sell fucking.
It's a nice bus, dude. It's nice.
I don't even need to see it. I'm in.
You want it?
Chris is like, let me make an offer.
Yeah. Well, I like the gig. It's nice. Good. The Italian people kind of like you. They just won't feed you. That's good. Is it actually cold as the Washington?
Y'all.
What do you say?
I said, as the resident Italian here, I'll feed everybody, bro. Don't even worry about it.
Do you speak any Italian?
Not even a little bit.
Grazie a tutti.
What's your favorite spots in San Diego, Chris?
My favorite spots. How familiar are you with San Diego?
Pretty familiar.
I live in North County, San Diego, which is like the Carlsbad, Oceanside, Vista area. Yep. I don't know if you're too familiar with that.
Yeah, Stone Brewing Company is not too far.
Yes, yes.
Just tell me where the brewery is. And I'm like,
yeah, we have Belching Beaver. We have Belching Beaver's pretty good.
Modern Times is like, that's really, really good.
Stone has a couple locations, and the one that's actually by my house is sick because they don't serve any food. There's like the big Stone that serves food and is like their master like brewery and stuff, but the one by my house just serves alcohol. But you can bring food there, so like I'll grab like a burrito and then go over across the street and then, you know, drink some drinks at Stone with my burrito. It's pretty sick.
That's a day in the life.
Yeah. Day in the life of a San Diego man.
San Diego man.
Where are you based out of?
LA. That's why I know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I go down to San Diego a lot.
Oh, okay.
And my girlfriend's brother's stationed down there, so we go crash his plane.
Oh, Pendleton?
I should know. He's a Navy.
Oh, Navy. So he's probably in what is the name of the
I don't know. It's close to a really good all-you-can-eat Korean place, but I don't know any breweries that close, which is why I don't know.
All-you-can-eat Korean. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
The only place I know by name down there is Fort Pendleton just because it was so close to
there. There's a naval base that's a little more south.
Yeah.
And obviously more by the water.
Yeah. That does help with things.
Yes.
More by the water than Oceanside?
Yeah, but like Camp Pendleton goes back into like the brush of the mountains and stuff and like, you know, more desert terrain.
Fucking artist, dude. Total art. Look at that brush in the mountains.
That's why we
snatched
them up.
Trying to paint a picture here.
So it's putting together a podcast at my buddy's house. Buddies have kids. Buddy's daughter's in fifth grade. And she said to me, you should ask every guest when they first felt famous. So I ask each of you guys, when did you first feel famous? Now, fame is not really an answer you would choose for yourself. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. I'm not. But what I am saying is, what was a kernel in time that like started setting you on your path to who you are, where you're going? What moment would each of you guys choose would be a good moment?
Oh,
I like that one. I'd say the Danny Wimmer festivals that we played. Yeah. Yeah, they were, both of them were just the two biggest shows we've ever played. And one of them was at Daytona Speedway, which is the coolest shit for everybody. And Louder Than Life was a big ass festival. And I've never felt cooler in my life.
Right on.
Yeah, I mean, I think about probably the same. Because I mean, exactly. Like, it's weird to think about fame because I think like all of us at times feel like, oh, fuck yeah, we're doing pretty good. But then I don't know, all of us get very whipped back into reality sometimes, and it's hard to feel famous with like breaking through. However, I mean, for me, the time I felt famous was when I went viral for singing the national anthem, and that whole thing happened. That's probably the first time that I was like,
so that's the NASCAR thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So how did that all come about? Did like an agent person set you up for that, or?
Oh man, it's the best.
That's a long story.
So
I have time. I got a second beer.
In the worst way.
Just don't get boring. Don't get boring.
No, basically,
it's good.
So it started off with our bass player Luke. It all goes back, let's say, about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. We sat down and we were like, how can we set ourselves apart from what other bands are doing? And with rock being as weird as it is in this day and age, you know what I mean? We were like, where is rock really being accepted? And it's,
where are the rock fans?
It's action sports, it's racing. There's hundreds of thousands of people showing up to race events, NASCAR events every weekend, and they're not listening to like top 40 pop radio. They like rock music. And on top of that, I love NASCAR. I grew up watching NASCAR with my dad. Luke, he has his family, was involved in IndyCar a bunch. And and Chris's dad is literally the biggest car head I know and knows all about racing. And I mean, it's a genuine connection for all of us. And we also were like, it's a market that I feel like is relatively like untapped as far as bands really trying to like be like, hey, you people, we're here for you. So on top, after we made that decision, so it was a conscious decision a few years back to trying to find a way into the sport in any way we could. And we played the video game all the time on tour. NASCAR, I would think it was NASCAR Heat 3 at that point. And like, we'd bring a PlayStation on tour just to set it up at venues and fucking play. We loved this game. And the soundtrack was so bad.
Not good enough.
It was so like, bad. And
it was all like developers, you know, younger brother has a band, let's just throw his song on the soundtrack because it costs us like no money in publishing to make that happen, you know.
So and for the record, it was at that point, it was, I mean, it's after the days of EA Sports making the NASCAR games. They were pretty much ran by indie companies, so they were doing what they could. But as a musician, those songs were not very good or intriguing,
right?
So we and Nick and I were writing one night, and we were like, we just had the NASCAR like loading screen up and we put it on mute and we were like, let's write a song to this.
Okay.
We did. And we called it Heat because NASCAR Heat is the video game. And and we honestly couldn't really figure out much to do with it for a while. And we ended up finishing that one in the studio and it ended up being perfect. Flashback, record's done. Now we're figuring out promotional aspects. And then Luke one night was just like high as shit and like threw off a post into the Reddit sphere and posted in the NASCAR Heat subreddit like, yo, anyone know how we can get a contact to this game to submit our music? We'd love, our band loves this. It's been a dream of ours for a long time. And the only person that replied to that was a game developer for the gaming company. And he gave us his email and he said, shoot it over. And we were like, fuck yeah.
So we just sent him the album.
So we sent him the album and we told him the backstory about how we wrote the song to the loading screen and all that.
So when
that.
You say we, you don't have a manager and stuff at this point. It's literally you guys.
We do.
We just still love to grassroots shit because.
But you guys sent it or, well, you call the manager and say, hey, we got something cool. Can we make it work?
Well, basically be like, hey, Luke's post worked and we got this email. Can you send this guy our.
All right, cool. All right, got it.
Yeah. And so get that sent off and we get ghosted for like 4 or 5 months.
It was a long time.
Not hear back. And then like then the country shut down, pandemic happened. And so we were already feeling the blow of that. Didn't hear back from this. We were just like, oh fuck, what are we going to do? And then like a week or two into the pandemic, got a contract in our email from the video game company. We're like, hey, we love your songs. We love the backstory. Sorry, we haven't been in touch. We were just finishing lots of things. By the way, the game launches this Friday. Can you get the contract back by tomorrow? Because we want to use your song as like the theme, as like the commercial
trailer
that like is in the trailer and shit. It was like so crazy. So then got the game. That was already amazing within itself. So then on top of that, like I have a buddy, his name's Nate, and Nate plays guitar in a band called I Set My Friends on Fire. You should check them out. They're fucking awful if you haven't heard of them. He would say that. It's so funny that he works in NASCAR. But he's been following Avoid for a while and saw that we like wear NASCAR merch on stage and all that. He manages a driver. And so he then reached out after he saw that we got ourselves in the game really out of just taking a chance. And he was like, yo, this is fucking sick. My driver loves your band. And we're, cause he's also a smaller driver. It's not one of the top funded teams. It's very similar to where we are as a band. They were as a race team. I mean, I can't compare it saying it was equal, but like, you know what I mean? It's not one of the top 10 teams. And they loved the fact that we were super DIY with it. We just had a pure love for NASCAR. And it was just out of that. So we were able to work out a deal where we had like our logo. It was kind of just like a sticker, but it was like a smaller logo on the side of the car for every race. And they still even put it on there sometimes to this day. And part of the deal was we work out to we have a playable we have a car for him in the game, but it's fully wrapped out in Avoid stuff. So we have a Avoid car.
Oh, well, hell yeah.
That our songs are in.
NASCAR Heat 5, if you want to see what that's about.
Yeah. So that's kind of the shortest version of the story. But so
a kick-ass story. I love it.
Yeah, we really kind of just grassroots our way into the most grassroots sport there is.
Okay, so the national anthem.
And so the national anthem there we go, came from that.
Full Thank story. You. I would have totally forgot that part. You need a job? You want to come on? Thank you. All right.
Within the...
I may even post a link to this anthem.
Oh, you oh, don't you need to. You don't should. Need to. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, walk it.
Please do it.
But, yeah, so...
I know how to do that now, you see.
Yeah, so Joe Graff Jr., the driver that we sponsor, his big sponsor is Bucked Up Energy Drink. And Bucked Up Energy Drink was sponsoring the NASCAR Truck Series event at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And it was kind of like a last minute deal put together on Wheat's notice. So then I got a call literally 2 weeks-ish before the race. And it was Nate being like, hey, Bucked Up just got this race. I'm in charge of like all this shit. Do you want to sing the national anthem? And I'm like, well, I feel like I can't say no to this.
No, hell no.
Like, I feel like I have
America.
To. I got a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Oh, like, it gets better. It
and
gets
so better. Then we did that. Get down. Nick and I practiced doing the national anthem together for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like electric guitar and vocal, like, you know, kind of like rocked out, but very, you know, like it wasn't gonna be like a rock band playing the national anthem. It was gonna be like a very respectful traditional version
with
of the song,
with our flair. And yeah. And we advanced that with the stadium. It was all good. And then we get down to there and
we get on the track.
Like on the track. We're about to do it like minutes before.
Yeah.
And Nick pulls out his amp,
dude.
And they like laugh and they're like, we don't have power for that down here. What the fuck do you?
They're like, we don't have power. We don't have a microphone for you, like for your amp. Like this is not going to happen. And so, I mean, and we're on the track minutes away from this happening. And I just turn to Benny. I'm like, you have to do this by yourself.
How many people are there?
20,000,
and they don't have a fucking, they don't have any 20,000 power down there.
And it was televised.
And granted, this was in 2020, so this was still like NASCAR was one of the first, so it was technically sold out. But Las Vegas Motor Speedway can hold 100,000 people, so it's 20,000 people, but it doesn't necessarily feel like 20,000 people.
It's social distancing, it's
social distance out, it's spread out, but it. There is that many.
20,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of people.
Yeah. So Benny and I go back to the like little van that they brought us onto the track with, and we just went in. I'm like, okay, here's your starting note.
And
like,
I'm
like, this to yourself until you start. Like, and I'm pretty sure at this point, like we had only ever practiced this together. Like at this point, Benny had never sung the national anthem a cappella in his life.
Never done it.
Until it was on TV in front of 20,000 people.
And we only practiced it together. And Nick, and just full of, I would consider myself a musician for the last 10, 11 years. Everything I've done has been with Nick. Every single thing I've ever done music related has been with Nick. Never
not thrown up there solo.
So it's like, I'm like, I felt like the rug ripped out. It was crazy. And so then that's fine. It actually goes over pretty well at the stadium.
In the stadium, it sounded great because there's like massive reverb and like the vocal is
EQ. Yeah, the crowd went nuts.
I don't get I'm a raspy singer and I sing like a rock guy, but I wouldn't say I butchered it by any means. However, the stream of the national anthem was just dry fucking mics. Just
raw mics.
Just as raw as it could possibly be. You don't get the reverb. You don't get the... You
hear every little imperfection.
So yeah. You just hear every little imperfection so perfectly. And so that's the audio that goes viral. And so at the stadium, like, Nick's giving me the biggest hug ever. The crowd's erupting. All the guys are like, Benny,
we're like,
fucking,
you just did so good, dude. Fucking,
yeah, he killed it.
No, we were like, yo, that sounded great. Fuck
and
yeah.
So the night's going great. And then I start checking Twitter, like when we get back to our hotel room that night. And I'm like, oh no, you guys.
This didn't go well.
And it's like the fact that we thought it went like, I don't know, it didn't go perfectly. Obviously the rug got ripped out from under us. But we were like, okay, guys.
Yo,
like
we made it through.
We made it through.
Yeah.
And I think everyone can quote me on this. The one thing I said for the 2 weeks leading up to the anthems, I just want a forgettable anthem. I just want to go up there, do it, and I want no one to remember we did this. If you have a forgettable anthem, it's good, because that means people only remember the anthem if you fuck it up.
That's did your it. Mom call you? What the fuck are you doing in Vegas, boy?
my mom's the greatest, bless her. Everyone was all, like, all the family, I said, they were all proud. And so, like, my close-knit circle was all proud, and so they were just gassing me up. Everyone at the stadium, it actually, I feel like, went over pretty well. And then Twitter just got a hold of it. And
well, it hit CBS Morning Radio, and that was
kind of it got talked about on, like, hundreds of sports radio
stations. Real quick, what's all that clicking?
Oh, sorry. It was me crashing my can.
Oh, okay. Because that's going to totally fuck up your thing. I mean, it's okay now, but if you keep doing it, it's anyway, keep going. Sorry.
You're totally right. You're totally right. So yeah, it got talked about on like hundreds of local sports radio stations, and it got to like Sirius XM, and it got to CBS Sports Radio Jim Rome, which is the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Yeah. It's as big as it gets really when it comes to sports radio. And that dude just ripped me
fucking new. Oh. It was insane.
But it was great because
over multiple days.
Yeah. Oh, this was like a whole.
You 3 to 4 days.
If you just YouTube search Jim Rome Benny Show, this whole saga comes up. But it's funny because the way he was making fun of me was like he was comparing me to like the emo legends of like the early 2000s, and he was making fun of me in his tone, but he's like comparing Patrick me to like Stump, My Chemical Romance, Fallout Boy, Taking Back Sunday, these like huge bands. So I'm over here like, I'm not really offended by this is kind of sick.
Yeah,
so we played into that on Twitter, and so we were just like, ha, this is fucking hilarious, like, oh, bring us on to talk, and we were just goofing around. And then that got back to Jim Rome, so then we kind of had this like internet feud for like,
I mean, did they even pay you to sing it in the first place? You're like, I mean, what the, I didn't get shit out of this anyway.
We got into the race. They hooked nice it. I mean, we were in the suites, they hooked it up all. It was kind of like
did they give you beer and food?
We did get our hotels comp.
Oh, hotels comps is cool.
And hotel comp, like, we got all that. Get
kicked out of the hotel?
No.
We were good.
Come on, Jesus.
I know.
Not that night.
No, I was depressed, bro. I was all sad. I was just like.
I wish I was there. I would have made you feel great.
I mean, essentially, long story short, it goes all week with Jim Rome. It gets super big, and it leads into me. I ended up going on the show, did the whole like 15-minute interview. We spun the whole thing around to where like Jim Rome loves us, really likes the band. Like, he played the songs on air and like completely changed his opinion about the band before I even.
How'd you get a hold of Jim Rome to be like, hey man, come on?
Twitter, man.
I know Twitter. Literally just like, because he talked about it on air, so then I just rebutted and tagged him in it, and he happened to see it. And then literally when I got on the show,
did you say like fuck you, butthead?
Like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna call the fan line and see if I can get through. And I got through.
Why are you so mean to me?
They didn't even believe it was me. They thought I was some guy coming to fuck with the show. And I was like, no, like I swear, like I just want to come on and like talk about it for a sec and spin this. Like, there's so many people talking about my band right now. Like, I want to use this as fuel and get we can to like actually talk with us.
So are you gonna sing the national anthem again, or you're like, no.
I hope so, man.
I think I'm gonna put my cap up for that one.
I think you're retired.
I think I'm doing that again.
Kind of a one.
You got a lot out of it. You got a lot. It was good.
That's the thing.
Better really than Roseanne. It. Roseanne never like rebounded.
See, that's
neither did Fergie. Neither did Madison Rising. Like everyone pushes it. That might be it.
That was the thing that was rough. And I was getting compared to Fergie and stuff in these like radio shows, and I'm just like, yo,
it wasn't that bad.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it like that. Like.
So the deal is your friends have terrible taste because they thought it was awesome in the moment.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I thought it was badass.
Yeah, maybe we were too drunk or something. I don't know.
It was Vegas.
It was Vegas, that's for sure.
All right, when did you guys feel famous?
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's
oh, no. It's,
it wasn't playing the national anthem, I'm going to say, huh?
Definitely those festivals for me, too. Like, we've never been able to like play on a truly massive rock stage that like the back line behind us is, you know, like Korn and Metallica, playing on main stage was awesome. And we like weren't able to go out into the crowd without getting stopped. So I was like, okay, cool. That's, you know, that's like a first taste of of what being a big artist might be like, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. I live with my girlfriend.
You guys watched Korn and Metallica from side stage or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was incredible. Crazy. It was so sick.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I don't know. I love Korn.
Yeah.
I did a movie and Jonathan Davis was the liquor store clerk in my movie.
Yo, what?
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's it was fun, man. He's cool. He's a really good
guy. That's so sick.
Yeah. He's a cool
guy. So you have a movie?
It's not a good movie.
Well, tell us about the movie. You can just say, I have a movie. And then Jonathan Davis.
So I'm not going to be, you know, I quit being a roadie and I was going to make a movie. So I just figured if I stick a shitload of rock stars in my movie, it will do good, right? Because they have big followings. So it's very random, man. Josh Todd from Buck Cherry's The Drunk.
Let's go.
And Dizzy. So the bar band is Dizzy from Guns N' Roses, Louise from Veruca Salt, Matt Nelson from the Nelsons.
And
Josh Todd was in the bar too there at that time with the being drunk or whatever. I'm like, this is the craziest bar like ever. But
are they like playing themselves or are they playing characters in the movie?
So Dizzy has a name, and then Josh is actually interesting because Josh made me give him a name because he was just drunk guy. So I'm like, he's like, why the I'm not drunk guy. So he's Hutch because he's a Hutch is a cool name. If you make me Hutch, I'll do it.
Funnier. So like setting the movie scene is it's like it's one thing and it's like you take it in, it's like this is so legendary. And it's like they're not even playing that. Like if you were to just walk into that bar, you'd be like, what the
What a bar. Boy, do you have a good band. A hole in the wall. And yeah, it was totally fun, man. It was cool. I forget who else. There was other people there too. I forget, but it was fun. And then the Cottonmouth Kings were going to be the people waiting in line in Jonathan Davis's liquor store, but their car broke down. Saints car broke down. And they didn't make it. So it was that was fun. So Warner Brothers distributed it in the end or whatever, but it was it's not that good is the truth. Sensible. But it was real fun. It was real fun.
I would love to watch this.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm so interested now. You just sold.
There's a lot of randomness.
Said it was bad, made me want to watch it more.
Well, I didn't know, man. I was a fucking roadie guy, and I figured it'd be a good career, like directing, because they get overtime, and then you just sit there and you're like, no, you know, do it again, and then they do it enough times, and you're like, all right, give it to the editor, it's gonna look great. But I didn't know. I'd say stop and go. They'd be like, you really should say cut. I'd be like, this is my movie, bitches. Stop.
I love it.
Next.
Stop.
I don't know. It was a fun experience. It was, I think the people involved were quite entertained and it was good, dude. It was cool. It was a trip.
That's so sick, dude.
Yeah, a little different. A little different. So what do we got? We got one guy here. What's your famous moment?
I mean, obviously, yeah, the festivals were, it was that moment of like, holy shit, this is like, we're playing with Metallica and Korn and fucking Leonard Skinner, but I think for me it was the last tour we just did with Fit for a King, because it was 6 weeks long. It was like the longest tour we've ever done, biggest room we've ever played, you know.
So are you guys, you're in a van tour?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And yeah, yeah.
6 weeks trailer. Okay.
And just sleeping in the van.
And just to see how well we did, you know, given all of our obstacles and our speed bumps, you know, like the fact that we made it through and like bonded so much with the other bands on the tour, it just made me realize like, fuck yeah, we can fucking do this. Like,
yeah,
we can exist at this level, and,
you know, we can do this. Right. This is not that hard, you know? So
what's it like for you guys when you get, so, you know, the music video has people watching it and these singles are doing pretty good. So what's it like for you guys as you get these little glimpse of, I don't want to say hope, cause that sounds negative, but like little bits of like, you know, notoriety, people are enjoying parts of it. It's exciting, obviously, but you need those little kernels to keep cruising.
And I would say it's really exciting. And I think the thing that keeps us going too is like, we get excited for like a second and then it's instantly like micro analyzing the things that didn't go well about it and not trying to get ourselves down about it. But it's like, like it's really exciting to be at the spot that we're in, and it's great being young, and I feel like if there's the best advice we've ever gotten from anyone that's bigger than us is, yo, enjoy where you're at now. Like, it doesn't last forever, and I had my best days in the van and fucking around in the parking lot, and so
yeah. But a hotel room and taking a shower does not suck, so
it won't. Oh, it does it,
right? But it's nice as a treat.
Yeah,
that, and it's just like, fuck, I don't know, man. Like, it's exciting and it's really cool to be where we're at right now, but at the same time, it's like, you got to be aware of where you're at and know that, yeah, the singles are doing well, and they're certainly like, I'd say that if you look at it on a graph, we've been doing this for the last few years, and we feel that growth. But it's also, yeah, every time it's like, fuck yeah, that went really well about this. But all right, you look at the comments, people didn't like this about it, people didn't like that about it. People, all right, and it's like, and again, we don't let that eat us up, but we try and stay really aware of, like, A, what receives well with people, and then what we want to do out of just doing our, because we also don't give a fuck. We want to do our thing. We also do want it to resonate with people. And so if the people that like our band like certain things or don't like certain things about us, I think it's good for us to be aware of that as we grow over the next few years.
Stay hungry.
Yeah, we stay really, really, really hungry, and we give ourselves little pats on the back and big punches in the gut.
Yeah, because we want to do
this. I like that.
For the rest of our lives, you know? So, you know, longevity lies in, you know, goals and working hard and keeping yourself motivated, you know? So I think that's where we try to stay, keep our heads the most. But we definitely love to celebrate.
We love to celebrate, and we don't just, yeah, that makes it just seem like we're just like, ugh. No, we celebrate, and we
enjoy and we savor the moments, and we, you know.
We're really grateful, but we're also really not complacent. We want to take this as big as it can get, but we're going to enjoy it and have as much fun as we can the whole time.
Yeah, you're doing good, though. I mean, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn right, yeah.
There's a lot of
competition. The market is massive.
And I would say that there's not a band out there that's more familiar and in touch with who their competition is than us.
Yeah.
We keep our ear down and we stay really in touch with what's relevant, and it's just exciting, man, because there's a lot of really good stuff, and then not, but there's a lot of really bad stuff out there too. And I think that because of, like, at least for me, like, yes, music is incredibly oversaturated right now, but I also think that you can smell genuineness from a mile away, and you can kind of tell who's going to be around for a day and who's going to be around for a year and who's going to be around for 5 years. Like, and so just try not to get too caught up in the other. It just, like, we'll find our own little pathway in this industry, because it's really fucking big, and sometimes, especially like suits and stuff like that, make it seem like it's really small, but it is really big, and there's a place for everyone if you're willing to work hard enough and figure out where that place is.
Find it.
I mean, there's plenty of bands that are paying their bills and making a complete living, and you've never heard of them, and they're never going to be on the radio, and they're never going to be mainstream marketable, but they've built their own little fan base, their own little community, and that is their job. And I don't know.
Fraggle Rock. Just to give you an example.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Never heard of them.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I bet. I want to check it out. But yeah, so I'd say that.
You guys have never heard of Fraggle Rock, really?
Yeah, that's a perfect example right there.
There you go.
None so of Fraggle Rock. So I had on Zappa. Amit Zappa.
Oh, sick.
Yo.
Yeah. Fuck. And, yeah, we were all drunk before we started, and it's so, and so Amit was gonna produce Fraggle Rock, which is Jim Henson stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
Right, okay. And so I was like, dude, so what the fuck? Where's the Fraggle Rock movie, man? And he's, well, actually, so we went down this rabbit hole of Fraggle Rock, like, that's pretty much what we talked about. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, Fraggle Rock was good shit.
That's awesome.
The reason we don't have a movie is fucking Amit. No, I shouldn't say. I don't know, but maybe one day.
Though, the badge for the best things you could ever name your children.
True that.
Oh, that was the big part of the thing, as we talked about. There was an interview where,
hey man, your sibling is named Moon Unit.
that shit is fire. That shit is awesome.
Well, I didn't tell him, but she's pretty good looking. So I was be like, dude, your sister's hot. But I didn't say that. I was like, good boy. I was a good boy. Yeah. I'm sure he'd heard it before.
for sure.
Oh, I was a very good host on that. I was like top notch shit there.
There you go. You really came through.
Yeah, I really came through. Anyway,
grab a beer when we're in LA or something, man.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm in. Yeah, we'll do it for sure. We'll have to hang out again. And yeah, let me know when you guys are out here. I'll come to the show.
Dude, we would love to. Hopefully, man.
Hopefully I'll wear my cheerleading outfit.
Yeah, as of right now, I know we're playing in Oceanside on August 4th.
Yeah, that's too far.
Yeah. No. Bro, but we'll guest list you.
Oh, thank you. Bro, come on. Thank you. I'll let you guys know. I don't know. We'll see.
We're trying to work on an LA show too, so maybe it'll be even closer.
No. What area of LA are you in? Are you in actual LA? Or are you in like the outskirts?
In the valley, so I'm in Tarzana.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Nice. I like
There's
that area.
There's a bar down the street from me, actually, where I shot that film. Is funny, and now that I'm up here, it's called the Maui Sugar Mill. They take bands a lot. You guys should try and reach out to them.
Yeah, Maui Sugar Mill.
See that, Benny?
Right, let's go.
We'll take it.
That might be good venue, and that's actually very convenient. I'm really bad. Yes, I don't go to much, and a lot of these publicists are like, "You got to go," and I'm like, "No, you can interview people there." I'm like, "Double no." Angelo from Fishbones is like family, and so he was playing actually at that Maui Sugar Mill. So I finally went to a show, and I went to go see Angelo play. So it was fun. I actually enjoyed myself. So.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was good. So anyway, I really do appreciate you guys' time. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
Dude, yeah. We appreciate you, man. For this has been so much fun.
Hell yeah, that was a good one. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe by clicking the round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or the guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle's Joel Rohde. And don't forget, when you party like a rock star, don't be a dick.